Well, the story is told that when Pope John Paul II came here to the United States back in the 1980s, he flew into New York Airport, and he was picked up by a chauffeur in a limousine. And so the Holy Father got into the limousine, and they headed towards St. Patrick's Cathedral in downtown New York City. And the Pope began to talk to this chauffeur and began to lament the fact that nobody ever let him drive. Since he's been Pope, he hadn't had a chance to get behind the wheel, when he used to love to drive as a young man. So he said, "Would you mind if we trade places?" And of course, you can't disobey the Pope. And so, of course, the chauffeur, they pulled the car over. The Pope got into the driver's seat. The chauffeur sat in the back seat, and they went off. Well, the Pope apparently had a lead foot, and he got pulled over for speeding. And so the police officer, Officer O'Malley, walked up, and the window was buzzed down, and he looks in at this incredible sight. And he looks in, and he sees the Holy Father in the front. He sees this man in the back. He says, "Give me a second. I have to make a phone call." So he goes back to his car, and he says, "Sergeant, I just made a big mistake. I just pulled over somebody of great importance." And the sergeant says, "Well, who was it, the mayor?" And the officer said, "No, way bigger than that." "And who was it, the governor?" "No, way higher than that." "You mean you pulled over the president of the United States?" And the officer said, "Way even higher than that." "Well, who was it?" And the officer said, "Well, I don't know his name, but he has the Pope as his chauffeur." Today is a great day for the Catholic Church. Today is the beatification of Pope John Paul II. Today he'll be raised to God's altar on the feast day of Divine Mercy. It's so appropriate that he will be elevated to beatification today because he was the Apostle of Mercy. He's the one who got the diaries of St. Faustina promoted. He's the one who canonized St. Faustina. He himself showed such great mercy by going to visit the man who tried to assassinate him, and he personally forgave him and blessed him and prayed with him. He promoted the great channels of mercy: Our Lady, the Mother of Mercy, the Eucharist, the Presence of Mercy, Confession, the Channel of Mercy. And he himself did many corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Let's take a brief look at his life because it is so fascinating. The Holy Father, Karol Wojtyła, was born on May 18th, 1920, on the outskirts of Krakow, Poland. He was baptized a month later and given the name Karol, which we would translate into English as Charles. He had a very difficult childhood. He lost his mom when he was only 8 years old, so he really never had a chance to grow up with a mother. That's why he took our Blessed Mother as his personal spiritual mother. He also lost his brother when he was 12 years of age. And it was really the faith of his father that pulled him through these things. His father was a man of deep faith. In fact, many times when young Karol Wojtyła was a young man, he would wake up in the middle of the night and he would look over and he could see his dad kneeling in prayer. And that made such a profound impression upon him. As a young man, of course, he was brilliant in his studies. He focused on philosophy and theology, as well as acting and writing and literature. And he went to his university, but then the Nazis came in and invaded Poland in 1939, so he had to stop his studies, and he had to work in a quarry and a chemical plant for a number of years. But he always continued studying and reading on his own. After his dad died in 1941, he came under the good example of a layman, a tailor by trade, who was a lover of Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross, and he introduced Karol Wojtyła to the writings of these great Carmelite saints. And this is when he began to wear the brown scapular as a young man. Well, eventually, the seminaries were reopened, and he went through the seminary training, was ordained a priest in 1946, and because of his brilliance, was sent over to Rome to study and to get a doctorate in Rome. He came back, got another doctorate in Poland, and he then was worked as a parish priest, as an associate pastor, and he then would teach in some classes in the university, in the seminary. He worked a lot among the young people and the college students. Then he was chosen to be an auxiliary bishop in Poland in 1958 during this communist rule, communist takeover of Poland. So the communists, of course, were spreading all over, obviously, Europe at the time. And he was then made archbishop by the Holy Father in 1965. He attended Vatican II, helped write some of the Vatican II documents, was then made a cardinal in 1967 by Pope Paul VI. And then he was in Rome in 1978 to help elect Pope John Paul I. But then after 33 days, he died, and everybody, all the cardinals came back to Rome. And that's when he himself was elected as the 264th successor of St. Peter. And he took the name John Paul II. And what was very, what really made the news was that he was the first non-Italian pope in over 400 years. And as the pope, he would do a great deal of writing, perhaps have written more than any other pope in the history of the church. That's why he's been called Pope John Paul the Great, and only a handful of popes have ever been given that title. He revised the Code of Canon Law. He helped to write the new Catechism of the Catholic Church, which was the first universal catechism issued in about 500 years in the church. He was called the traveling pope. He traveled to hundreds of foreign countries, made more trips than, of course, than all the other popes combined in the 2,000-year history of the church. And he tried to reconcile the Orthodox to the church, and he tried to promote ecumenical relationships with the Jewish leaders, the Anglican leaders, the Lutheran leaders. He tried to bring unity and ecumenical relationship with other non-Christians and non-Catholics. He helped to promote the downfall of communism, the breaking down of the Berlin Wall. All these things have a lot to do with the behind-the-scenes work of the great John Paul II. He was a staunch defender of human life, of the dignity of every person from the moment of conception until natural death. And he really showed that love when he went to visit Ali Aka, the man who shot him on May 13, 1981, who tried to kill him, tried to assassinate him. After the Pope's miraculous recovery, he went and visited this man and personally forgave him and blessed him and prayed with him. The Holy Father, during his pontificate, also beatified and canonized more men and women than any other pope in history, because he wanted role models for us to follow. The Holy Father died on April 2, 2005, on the feast day of Divine Mercy. So it's very appropriate that this great apostle of mercy is beatified today. But as the reports indicate, he wasn't beatified for all the things he did in the papacy. He was beatified because of his holiness of life, because of his personal relationship with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he would every day spend hours in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. And he said such a reverent, beautiful Mass. When people attended his Mass, they were moved to tears by the Holy Father's holiness and his relationship with the Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament. The Holy Father was so devoted to our Blessed Mother. He made the de Montfort consecration, the 33-day preparation where he consecrated himself to Jesus through Mary, and he lived the spirituality of the great St. Louis Marie de Montfort. The Holy Father promoted the means of holiness, going to regular confession, frequent Holy Communion, and he wanted us to do the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And he himself did this by visiting the sick and the imprisoned and the elderly and the handicapped and his great love for the unborn and trying to protect the rights of each and every person, especially the unborn babies. So the Holy Father's main theme of all his writings was the dignity of the human person, that we have to see and serve Jesus in each and every human person. So today, this apostle of mercy, this great Pope of mercy, will be beatified and raised to the altars. So he'll be a powerful example and intercessor for us in our need. So let's remember to ask his intercession for special intentions that we may have. For example, the ability to forgive. And what a wonderful thing that was. Ask him for the grace to be able to forgive and to be able to respect and do more for the sanctity of human life, to protect the rights of all individuals, especially the unborn. God bless you.